Lishus Marina Rav Shlita, Chaim Aruchim, family Shmulian. Yeah, I really wanted the title to be Ani Ma'amin Baviyat HaMashiach, but because the webmaster likes a very short space in his box when he actually lists it on the website, so I shortened it to Baviyat HaMashiach. Well, what are we talking about when we say Ani Ma'amin Baviyat HaMashiach? We know about the 13 principles of faith, which you find in the Siddur at the end of Shacharis, and the second last one is this one, Ani Ma'amin Baviyat HaMashiach. And then, when it carries on with its wording, it says, V'afal pi sheyis mamea, im kol zeh achakelot, everyone knows the song, V'chol yom sheyovot. What does that mean? That even though he will tarry, even though he takes his time over it, and yes, by golly, he is taking his time, V'afal pi sheyis mamea, im kol zeh achakelot, nevertheless, I will wait for him, V'chol yom sheyovot, I'll wait for him for every day that he may come. And we can ask the question on this text, because when you look at the other Ani Ma'amins, they don't quite have the same style. They don't have this afal pi. After all, you know, although he's taking a long time in coming, why don't we say, for example, here we are, here's the text. The first one is Ani Ma'amin be'emuna shleima shehabo'er yisbarach shmo hu barui manig l'chol habo'erim, that Hashem is the creator of all creations, and he alone did everything. So why don't we say that even though there are other faiths and religions and there are churches and there are mosques, nevertheless, hu levad oso, and he is the one and only. We don't have this afal pi on the other ones. But on this one we have, ani ma'amin b'shalem b'vias ha'mashiach, v'afal pi sheyis mamea, even though he is taking his time, he is tarrying him, kol zeh achakelo b'chol yom sheyavo. We don't get this in any one of the other 13 principles of faith. These 13 principles come from the Rambam. Rabbi Yosef Albo doesn't include a Mashiach in his, mind you, he's only got 3 principles of faith anyway. But the Rambam is regarded, is brought down to Halacha. These are the 13 principles of faith. So, what is this emphasis of Va'afal Pi, even though? Something which we don't find in any of the others. Then there's another question. When we go up to Shemayim and we reach our final test, we are asked 4 questions. No, not the Manish Tano. The Gemara Shabbos in Lamed Aleph, Omed Aleph says, "B'shor shemachnisen otam ledin," when a person comes up to din, he is asked 4 questions. What are those crucial 4 questions? The first one is, did you deal honestly in business? That's the first question. So, those who are sitting at Her Majesty's pleasure for fraud, who are described by the press as a strictly Orthodox Jew, should note that they're not strictly Orthodox Jews. Did you deal honestly in business? That's the first question. Just imagine, what is the first question? That is it. Number 2, Kavato Isin the Torah, did you fix times for Torah study? So the first priority is, were you honest in business? And the second priority is, did you fix times for Torah study? As well, very important point. The third question which one is asked is, did you attempt to have children? Not everybody might be successful for one reason and another, but did a person make a serious attempt to embark on such a thing? And number 4, Sipisa li Yeshua, did you await the Geula? Did you anticipate Mashiach? And the obvious question there is, well, what about Shabbos? What about Kashrus? Shatnas? Rechilus Lashon Hara? You know, all these important things are missed out from these 4 questions. You are asked about business, you're asked about Torah, obviously, Torah study, but where does this come in? Sipisa li Yeshua, did you anticipate Mashiach? Well, obviously we're anticipating the Mashiach. Look at the text of our davening. And this really enlarges our question to something much more. Were we not davening constantly for it? Every day we say, may the Goel live nevenehem. Tzakab b'shofar Godel l'cheiruseinu. Look at the Shemona Esra all the way through. Hashima shafteinu k'varishayun ha'v'yaltzeinu k'vabchila. V'liushalayim eichah barachamim toshuv. Certain communities actually sing the Eichah tune for that that bracha. We are anticipating you kol hayom, every day, or all day long. And the Nusach Sfad adds in their phrase, Mitzapim Nishua. We are anticipating the Yeshua all the time. And the list goes on. And after Osei Shalom, we got Yirat Sen Shetivne Beis Hamikdosh. And of course, in the Aleinu, Liros Meher Bisveir Shazecho. When you say Kaddish, Bar God of his man Koriv. Indeed, the Shari Tshuva writes in Arachayim Simen Kuf Yud Ches, in Sif Aleph, he says, when you say the Shuoscho Kivinu, Yichavin Loma Shasholim Acha Misosa, you should have in mind that you will be asked this question eventually. That after you have finished your life, Tzipisol Yeshua, that you're going to be asked this question. So when you say the Shuoscho Kivinu, you should have that in mind. And therefore, he says, have that kavono. In the Birchas Hamazon, when you bench, you say Rachaim, you talk about Yushalayim. When you say Kedusha on Shabbos, Mosai Timlo Fatzion. I mean, we can't be more emphatic than all of that. On Yom Tov, Avienu Letzion Erecho Berino. And of course, on Tisha B'Av, this coming week, we say Nachem Hashem Lekenes Avelei Tzion. So how is it possible that this doubt in Emunah could take place? All the time we're repeating it in our davening. Obviously we believe in the coming of the Mashiach. So why is this question, Tzipis and Yeshua, so crucial and listed with these other integral features which relate to what you could say as an everyday routine? Business is an everyday routine. Learning Torah is an everyday routine. And of course, raising children is taking up a lot of time, and that's an everyday routine. So, all right, we're davening every day, but why is Tzipis HaLishua so emphasized? And the truth is that really, if I believe in the coming of Mashiach, that is not enough to fulfill this requirement of Tzipis HaLishua. It's not sufficient simply say, yeah, I believe he'll come. It's more than that. Because the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Menachem Aluch Aleph, Kol mi she'enu ma'amin b'zeh, anybody who does not believe in it, or mi she'enu mechakeh lebioso, or somebody who does not actually wait for his coming, somebody who does not actually anticipate it, that person is called a kofer, an apikoros. So how are we meant to do this? How are we meant to anticipate it? Rav Yisachar Fran talks about when you get up in the morning and you're brushing your teeth, you say, oh, today he may come. And when you're having your lunch, you're having your sandwiches, and you say, he hasn't come yet. And when you're having your supper, or when you're going to bed at night, oh well, he didn't come today, maybe he'll come tomorrow. But that is the peace and Yeshua that all the time you are talking about it. And when we're talking now, for example, about Tisha B'Av being this coming week, that we should be saying, well, if in the event that that Mashiach doesn't come, then I hope to have an easy and meaningful fast. But all the time we're hoping that maybe it'll be a Yom Tov next week on Sunday. Well, it's Shabbos. The Shabbos is really Tisha B'Av. For the fast, we are Nidcharit, but if it's a Yom Tov, it will be on Shabbos itself. And it's Moed. Tisha B'Av is Mikri Moed, that many shuls don't allow the Avelim to daven at the Omud on Tisha B'Av, because it's called Moed, it's called a Yom Tov. It seems a bit odd and paradoxical to say it's a Yom Tov when we're not wearing leather shoes and we're sitting very low and we're saying Kinnas. But it's a Moed because it will be the greatest festival of all in the days to come. So that really is the crux of it, that there is a daily routine about it. Achakele b'chol yom shiyovo. So that when we say ani ma'amin be'emunah shleima, this for afal pi isn't really an exclusion clause, this nevertheless, and which we ask, why don't we see it anywhere else? This for afal pi is to show you that there is something added. It's not enough just to say, I believe in the coming of the Mashiach, but achakele b'chol yom shiyovo, even though he's taking his time. And you might say to me, well, where in the Chumash does it talk about Mashiach? In Tanakh, actually, there are loads of references in the Vim who talk about the Geulah. But in the Torah itself, there is very little, you might say, although there are hints to it, there are allusions to it. Yaakov Avinu wanted to actually reveal when he's coming, and Hashem stopped him. Lo yosur shevet mihuda mechokim mibein raglov, ad ki ovo shilo is his expression. Shilo, and the Umkula says, ad daisi mashicho. This is talking about the coming of the Mashiach. So there are various other references in the Chumash itself. In Bolok, we had Bilom saying, Erenu velo ato ashurenu, and if you look at the Targum Unkelos there, he says it's referring to the Yisrabot Meshichod mi Yisrael. It's talking about the Mashiach of the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the Shav Hashem Elokecho es Shiluscho virachamecho, in Parshas Nitzovim, chapter 30, verse 3, Veshov vekibetzcho mikolo amim, and there shall be the ingathering of the exiles, and this is referring to the coming of the Mashiach. Yesterday we were talking in the Parshas Masay about the Ori Miklot, and this is also discussed in Parshas Shoftim in Perek Yotes, Posek Tes, where it says, V'yosafta l'chos shalosh orim al hashalosh ho'eleh, that you will have six Ori Miklot, three added to the other three, and this has never actually happened so far. There have never ever been six Ori Miklot. So the Rambam explains in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Halacha Beis, that these Ori Miklot will be fulfilled b'vias HaMashiach, at the time of the Mashiach. Now, Rashi explains also in just one word that that is talking about the future. So there we have it, something which is telling us not a doubt simply, I believe in the coming of the Mashiach, but that he will come and I'm waiting for him actively every single day. So that means that part and parcel of this belief is that I'm doing something tangible. It's not saying simply that I'm ticking a box, yes, I believe this and I believe that, thanks very much, goodbye, off I'm going to work. It's something which is all the time on our minds. So much so.
I'm making an appointment for next week.
Making an appointment for next week.
Yeah. If you're expecting the Mashiach to come tomorrow.
I heard somebody once sent out a wedding invitation, and they wrote on it that this will take place in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, in whatever, 6 weeks' time. Do they?
Yeah.
And then with an asterisk, a little footnote, if by any chance he has not yet come, then it will be in the Zikorium in Wood Green, N22. All right, I don't think one has to go as far as that, but everyone knows that. I mean, it's true that we believe that he will come, and we hope he will come very soon. But I remember when I was in Israel in Yeshiva, there were some American boys who said to the Rosh Yeshiva, look, why should we keep 2 days Yom Tov? It's true that we've got a ticket to go back to America, but since we believe that Mashiach will come tomorrow, then we only have to keep 1 day Yom Tov. So the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Meir Shlesinger Shlita, said, it's true that he may come tomorrow, but you don't have to believe that he will come tomorrow. Your chiyuv of ani mamin is to believe that he is able to come tomorrow, and that you're anticipating that he will come tomorrow. But that doesn't mean that he will come tomorrow. That's not part of the belief that he will come tomorrow. You want him to come tomorrow, but you've got to do your bit. And what does it mean by you've got to do your bit? Because when you look at the Amidah in the Shemona Esra, we say, Ki melech melchev salach elo oso. So we say, Slach lo novinu ki chotonu mechal lo nemakin ki poshonu, forgive us for our sins, because you are the one who forgives us. We're putting the onus on Hashem's shoulders. And then in another bracha, Refoinu Hashem v'nei rofeo, sheninu rofeo, etc., the Kikel Melech Rofeinem on Rachamon, also, you are the doctor. That you can heal us from our illnesses. It's the onus on your shoulders. But when it comes to Es Tzemach Dovid Avdecha Miras Atzmiach, Mekana Tumisho Secho, we don't say because you are the Goel, we say because Kilishroscho Kivinu Kol Hayom. Because, thank you. Was I dropping a hint there then? So we say that the essence of the outcome of the Gula is not dependent on Hashem. It's not really the onus on his shoulders, it's on ours. So we have to fulfill this in order to enable him to come. So that is where we take away the onus from Hashem and we put it on ourselves.
They're saying that.
Pardon?
They're saying they're the teaching that we can be the Mashiach.
Yes.
If you make the numbers in Israel by being the majority in Israel, by making Aliyah, when we talk about in gathering of exiles, that will bring in.
Yes. So it's down to us.
So why are we not doing those very actions of making Aliyah?
Why don't we make Aliyah? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, we should. Well, the Chavetz Chaim had a suitcase next to his front door the whole time, ready packed, with clothing ready to greet the Mashiach. I don't think you have to buy an open ticket, because Chazal say that when Mashiach comes, the peoples of the world will carry us on their wings to Eretz Yisrael, which means that British Airways will be putting on free flights. So I'm waiting for my complimentary business class ticket. Hello? Yeah, I think they'll probably compete. I think they'll make a reduction, but I'm not sure if Hello has enough planes to put on, like British Airways might, or American Airlines. Oh, alright. So the Briskerov said it's not enough that when we say you anticipate him every day, b'chol yom she'ovo, because what we say in the davening is ki lishuos hokivinu kol hayom, not kol yom. Kol yom means every day, but kol hayom means all the day. It means b'chol rega v'rega, every minute of the day one is anticipating the Mashiach. So there is an important factor here, that the whole concept of the Emunah in Bi'as HaMashiach is not simply that he will come, it's not simply that I anticipate him every day, but it's that I anticipate him 24/7, so much so that I should be dreaming about him in my sleep. So even if you feel you are not worthy, even if you feel like, well, I'm not keeping this properly, or I'm not keeping that properly, you will get the schar of Geula if you anticipate him properly. If you really have this proper faith every single day that he is coming, then you get the schar of seeing him come. And this is the problem with the Geulas Mitzrayim, that one-fifth of the Jews came out. Four-fifths died during the plague of Choshech, of darkness. They didn't feel as though they were going to get the Geula. They were not anticipating Geula. So they were not Zoche to see the Geula. It's those people who are anticipating it and who believe in it who will be Zoche to see it, and that is part of their reward. Now, so the Rambam writes in Hilchas Tanis, in Siman Yudtes, Perek Yudtes, Halacha Yudtes, he says that all the fast days in the future are going to be cancelled, except Yom Kippur, because there will be still Selicha v'Kapara. But all the fast days are going to be cancelled, he says, and they will each become a Yom Tov. Now you can ask the question, alright, surely it's enough that the fasts are cancelled. Mashiach's come, no need for these fast days anymore, no need for Aneinu at the Yom Tanisenu, and that's it. But why is it that they will all be made into a Yom Tov? Surely it's enough just to drop them from the calendar. And the answer is because since you are fasting on those days, you are actively anticipating that Mashiach shall come. Because you are mourning the loss of the destruction of the Jerusalem and you are praying actively for its restoration, that in itself is part of Tzipisa Lishua. That is part and parcel of you showing that you're anticipating is coming soon. And that is what brings the Geula. That is what brings the redemption. So that is why those fast days will be Yomim Tovim. Because you will be celebrating the anniversary of the coming Mashiach because you worked so hard for it. And because you toiled for it, then your reward is to have a Yom Tov afterwards. Now, there's an interesting sefer called Otsa Vikuchim, which the Christian is debating with the Jew about the future, and there the Christian challenges the Jew because he wants to say that laws changed, because the Jew said to him, you changed the laws. So he says, oh, well, you Jews are going to change the laws, because it says that in the future, Kol Hamados Libotel, Chutz Mipurim V'Yom HaKippurim, it says in the future, the festivals will be annulled, except for Purim and Yom Kippurim. And he answers to the Christian, he says, that's not what it means. When Chazal said, Kol Hamados Libotel, it means that all the festivals will have new meanings. Because the Torah gives these festivals, so obviously these festivals like Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot will carry on. But when we stand up on these festivals, we say Zeicher Letzias Mitzrayim, because we're commemorating the miracles of the coming out of Egypt. But in the future, the miracles of the time of the Mashiach will be so great, they will be even greater than the miracles which happened at the time of the coming out of Egypt. So we will be celebrating those miracles. So when we stand up and say Kiddush, we won't only simply say Zeicher Letzias Mitzrayim, we will say Zeicher L'Bias HaMashiach, in memory of the time when Mashiach came and the miracles which took place then, and that is why we're celebrating those festivals in the future, for those additional, even more overwhelming and overpowering reasons. The story told about Rav Yosef Dovber Soloveitchik, who was known as the Beis HaLevi. He reached retirement age and he said, right, that's it, I'm retiring from Rabbonus. I've had enough to be a community rabbi. And he was approached by the town of Brisk and they asked him to become their rabbi. And he apologized. He said, I'm sorry, I don't feel up to it. And I've reached retirement age. So somebody came to him again and said to him, look, there are 30,000 Jews who are anxiously awaiting for you to come to Brisk to be their rov. How can you possibly turn us down? And that made him change his mind. He said, if 30,000 people have expressed their wish that I should be thereof, I can't say no. When the Chofetz Chaim heard this story, he cried. He said, if 30,000 Jews actively anticipate that this Rav should become the Rav of Brisk, then all the more so, surely if only 30,000 Jews are anticipating Mashiach, just like the Brisker Rav, as he became to be called, had the sensitivity to realize the tsar and the anxiety that people were having, surely Mashiach will have that same sensitivity, Kal v'chomer, more than 30,000 Jews. I mean, look how many Jews there are in the world. 12 million Jews there are. All right, if not everybody. But are they really that number who are actively seeking the Mashiach to come with that anticipation? Because what the Chofetz Chaim was really saying was this. Yes, there are many Jews around the world who are davening every day, Kiddush Rosh HaKivinu Kol Hayom, and that they're saying, Ani Mamin Be'Emunah Shleima. But do they have this attitude? Do they have this feeling that Mashiach is going to come? So much so that they're anticipating that he should be coming. Sipisa Yeshua. So that this question which is asked when a person gets to Shemaim is not an easy one to answer. You can't simply say, yes, I mentioned it in the davening and in the benching every day. It's much more than that. It's where you active. It's this feeling of standing in a supermarket queue. And for goodness sake, will this cashier get on with it? This is the feeling which a person would be having. Or if it's not the supermarket queue, is it, you know,
Bank queue in an Israeli bank on Friday morning.
An Israeli bank on Friday morning. Or just simply a bus queue for the 2:40 bus. Or waiting for your exam results. There's this feeling of anticipation, of anxiety, of wanting. That is what Tzipis HaLishua is all about. Not simply a ticking of the box. Yes, I believe in the coming of the Mashiach. And the truth is that the Mashiach wants to come much more than we want him to come. You know, he's got a job to fulfill. I mean, can you imagine, if I may use such a comparison, Prince Charles, yeah? How many of us are actually anxious that he should become King of England, or King of Great Britain? You know, I don't think any of us are particularly worried about it. But he, you know, poor fellow, he's already reached retirement age. He doesn't want to make it look like he wants his mother to die, chas v'shalom. But, you know, he really feels as though his tachlis in his life is to become the king of Great Britain. So he is anxiously awaiting it. He is fulfilling the tzipis on his shul al-Havdol elef havdolos. But we, you know, we're not particularly bothered if he abdicates with his Camilla, who's a divorced woman anyway, so she shouldn't become queen, and he shouldn't really become king if he's married her, because in 1936 the king abdicated for a divorced woman. So we're not interested in Prince Charles. We'd much rather Prince William becomes the king. Well, okay, I don't want any bulletin now from the palace that I'm going to be done for slander, but just to give this idea that we're not really bothered about Prince Charles becoming king. And alright, we believe he will maybe become king, so we got that emunah that he will become king, but that's the same thing as emunah b'viyas ha-mashiach. But the true emunah b'viyas ha-mashiach is v'artish yismameach im kol zeh achakelo b'chol yom shayovo, that I'm anxiously awaiting it, just like Prince Charles is anxiously awaiting to become king. And it's the Mashiach who wants to become king more than we do. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Yosef Mesheoni wrote some Shiovo, wrote Sehulavo. And the Chofetz Chaim actually wrote a Kuntaris called Tisa Liyeshua with three parokim. It's not a very long affair, but he goes into how can we really show that we anticipate the coming of Mashiach. And one of the ways, he says, is to learn about the halachas of Hilchas Kodshim, to feel as though that he's coming so that we will be ready. Because are we really going to be ready? That is the crucial question. And Rav Yecheskel Levenstein writes, Rav Yecheskel, that only those who actually yearn for the coming Mashiach will be merited to see the Megula, the Geula, as we said, like compared to the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And you know, there are various Divrei Chazal which say what the criteria are to bring the Mashiach, that this will happen or that will happen in order that he comes. It says that he will come on Motzei Shavuos, so we're coming to the end of the Shemitah year, so in Yitzh Hashem we're becoming Motzei Shavuos. There's another Chazal which says he will come in Chodesh Nisan, which is the month of redemption. There is a Chazal which says that we have to do Teshuvah in order that Mashiach comes. There's another Chazal which says that we will all be Zakai, or we will all be Chayav, that either nobody will keep Shabbos or everybody will keep Shabbos twice. So there are these Divrei Chazal which make you think, oh, maybe these criteria haven't occurred yet and therefore he's not coming. But the truth is that even with those Divrei Chazal, you still have to believe that he could come any single day and any part of that day. You cannot dismiss parts of your calendar or what's currently going on in Klal Yisrael to say he won't come now, because these are Divrei Chazal which are not crucial rules. They may be guidelines. But, you know, there's another thing. It says Eliyahu HaNavi will come before the Mashiach comes. He will come at least 3 days before. So we will have notice. We'll be able to go to the dry cleaner and have our suit ready on time. And so if you say, oh, I haven't seen Eliyahu HaNavi yet, therefore he's not going to come, that's also not sufficient for you to disbelieve in his coming. So this question was in fact asked to the Briska Rov. How can we expect Mashiach to come every single day if Eliyahu HaNavi hasn't come yet to announce his coming? How are we going to deal with that question? Answered the Beis HaLevi, he says, Mashiach will answer you that question when he comes. You still believe that he could come any single day. Because maybe Eliyahu HaNavi was coming by Eged Bas and he got held up, whereas the donkey of the Mashiach managed to get through.
Maybe he came and we didn't notice.
That's true. Often Eliyahu HaNavi appears and we don't realise it's him. Yeah, interesting point. And nowadays we're living in an era where it's much harder to believe in Mashiach, because our parents and grandparents went through such suffering that they were saying, come on Mashiach, come already. My mother saw her shul burning down in Frankfurt, Germany. A huge shul on fire on Kristallnacht. She lost 22 close relations during the war. You hear of people, they say in the newspapers, or people who died in the camps. It's not simply they died, they were murdered, right? Our own families encountered this just only a mere 70 years ago. And it's hard to bring this impression on our children and on our grandchildren of what they went through. And when they were going through all this suffering, They were davening for Mashiach with great kavanah. They realized that we needed a geula. But nowadays, we're living in a malchus shel chesed, where everything is cozy, and we've got all these kosher shops to give us all the kosher food we want, with all the different hechsherim, and our sons are learning in yeshiva or in kolel, and everything's wonderful and hunky-dory, and we've got our kaviyos in Torah, and our dafiyomi, and our dialer daf, and kol haloshon, so there's all these wonderful technological facilities, so you can never make an excuse that you can't learn Torah when you're out in the sticks. We're living in an era where, you know, okay, I'm managing very well, thank you very much. Do we really need the Mashiach? This is sometimes the seeds which are sown in some young people's minds. And this is the problem. And the Shlomo interestingly writes at the end of his Perush on Gemara Sukkah, he says, nowadays people are building themselves palaces to live in. Bonim botim mifsari hatsarim, osim diras keva ba'olam hazeh. Talking there about sukkah being diras arai, a temporary abode, and not a permanent abode, to teach us that we are in this world in a temporary abode. And he brings this to the idea of waiting for the Mashiach. He says people build their houses as though they're not waiting for the Mashiach. Obviously you need something to live in and you need over a roof overhead, but don't build such palaces, he says. Chas v'shalom be'esach hadas min ha'geula. You know, would you ever go to a wedding where there's no bride turning up? We obviously expect the bride to turn up. It's not even a wedding unless the bride is there. It's that same attitude. And if a person is an orphan and has no parents and longs to see the day of Techiyas HaMesim, when that person will see their parents again, that's an anticipation. It's a craving. And that is the craving which we should have when the Mashiach comes. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra, in Daf Ayin Gimel, a very famous Gemara about Rabbi Baba Chana, who speaks in very strange ways. He says, we were sailing along in a ship, and we saw a very large fish, but we thought it was dry land, but we thought it was a little island, because it was keeping still. And on this fish there was sand, and there was grass on it. So we thought, we'll get off the boat, and we'll have a picnic. And we got off the boat, without realizing it's a fish. We get off on what seems to be dry land, and we start cooking and baking for our barbecue. But the heat of our cooking got so intense for the fish that it turned. And if it wouldn't have been that the fact that our boat was nearby, we would have drowned. Very strange Gemara, but it's a parable. And the Maharshal says, it's really the Jews in Golus settling in different countries. We get off the boat and we settle thinking it's dry land, but it's really just the fish which will move. And we settle in these places as though we make ourselves, and make it our true home. And we say, oh, no anti-Semitism can happen here. But look what happened. Here in England in 1290. Look what happened in Spain, 1492. Look what happened in the 1940s. My wife's grandfather had medals from the German government for fighting in the First World War. He had medals. And he said, oh, it could never happen to me. And he was guest in Auschwitz. So this is the message which comes from this Gemara. Don't feel at home. That yes, we should be in Eretz Yisrael. And my teacher, Rav Shimon Reiser, says that there will be a big embarrassment when Mashiach comes, because people won't be feeling so ready. I've just got to attend this business meeting, and I've still got to do this, and I've still got to do that. I've got to wind down my office affairs. People will not be ready, and there'll be a big bush or a big embarrassment. So he says, it's better that people go now, willingly, rather than having to be persuaded at that time. That piece of Gemara in Baba Basra is even more interestingly interpreted by Rav Yaakov of Lisa the Nasivus. He says the boat which we get off to onto the fish, and there is the sand and the grass, he interprets this in a most amazing way. He says this is talking about the time just before the Geula, just before Mashiach comes, when the Jewish people will settle in Eretz Yisrael before Mashiach comes, and the other peoples of the world will challenge them as to their rights to the Holy Land, and they will fight against us. And were it not for the fact that our ship was nearby, we would have drowned. He says it means, were it not for the fact that Mashiach would be close by, we would not have survived these ordeals. how he managed to interpret it from the words 400 years ago to what is happening nowadays is mind-boggling. I'll end off with a story of given by Reb Chaim Volozhin, who was asked by his Talmidim, what will be like? What will it be like when Mashiach comes? Forgive me if I've said this before, I don't think I have. And he said, it's like this. I'm sitting in my dining room preparing a shiur to give in the yeshiva later that day, and my wife says to me, I'm going shopping. Can you keep an eye on the cooker that the food doesn't get burnt? He says, no problem. And she goes off. I have said it. No. All right, I'll carry on. And he suddenly feels a strange atmosphere. The sun is shining beautifully, birds are singing, there's a radiance in the air, and then he hears people shouting. So he doesn't understand what the commotion is. So he goes to his front door and he looks out and he sees somebody coming along and he says, Yankala, what's going on here? I hear shouting going on. He says, Rebbe, haven't you heard? Mashiach has arrived. He's here. And everybody's very excited. Wow, fantastic. He goes to his wardrobe to get out his Shabbat suit, his rekel, whatever it is, to put on in order to greet the Mashiach. And he realizes that there is a button which has come off. And that he had asked his wife after Havdalah to fix the button on his suit. And she said, oh, there's plenty of time till Friday. It can wait till Erev Shabbos. And now he's holding his Shabbos suit to go out and greet Mashiach. He says, how on earth am I going to greet the Mashiach without a button on my suit? And then his wife comes back saying, why do I smell the burning? Why is the food cooked? He says, the Mashiach is here, Mashiach is here. She says, never mind about Mashiach. What are we going to eat for lunch? He says, that's what will happen when Mashiach comes. So Rav Shach said at the hesped of the Ponovitch Arov, the Ponovitch Arov made sure that there was a chair on each side of the Oron HaKodesh in Ponovitch. He said, this one is reserved to Eliyahu HaNavi and this one is reserved to the Mashiach. So we might not have a suitcase next to our door like the Chofetz Chaim did, but we have to have this eager anticipation and this craving for the Mashiach, so that when we're asked, Tzipisa Yeshua, did you await? It's an integral part of our daily routine. And that if the Jewish people, if at least 30,000 Jewish people, have that correct craving and anticipation, remember the story of the Bris Karov, then there's a kol v'chomer that Mashiach will come. Because ki l'shuascha ki vinu kol hayom, because we fulfilled our obligation, so Hashem, you have to now do yours and send the Mashiach along. So if he doesn't come by next Sunday, may we have a meaningful fast, but hopefully he will, and then we could say Chag Sameach. Thank you.